Blog Talk Radio.
Dear beloved people, good evening to you, assalamu alaikum to you, peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm here by myself today, and I have to give a speech. I used to have someone to assist me. If there's any of you that's out in radio land and like to say something for about the next half hour or 45 minutes, I would be most appreciative. Maybe you have a poem to recite. Maybe you have a song to sing. Maybe you have some words to say. I would really appreciate if you could come, press one on the phone, and make your comments. We are here today, and again, like I said, we're here basically by ourselves. Yeah, I'm on the air.
Listen, Alfred said do it for 10 minutes. He's going to go get some Muslim journal, and he's going to get right on it for you.
Okay, good. Okay.
Okay, 10 minutes.
I'll be right back on the air. Thanks. Good.
10 minutes. Okay, I'll call it.
Well, you see, I'm trying to get help. We have prepared an address for you today. Today is the third Sunday, and it's Cultural Day. We're putting emphasis on culture, and we see what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, what happened in Florida, what has happened throughout these United States of America, and what is happening in the many of the cities of America. It to a solution. So for the next maybe 2 hours, if Brother Imam Mujahideen Muhammad is on the line with us, if he were to press one on the phone, I see someone that's from the 717 area code. Imam, any of you who are speakers and like to come and talk about something other than your personal lives, if you want to address what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, feel free to press one on the phone. Otherwise, I'm going to go on with our public address. And if I get too tired, I want to share with you my day. And I think it's very, very relevant. Today, I was invited to come to a young man's apartment for the express purpose of doing a bankruptcy, filing a bankruptcy petition for him. Under the United States bankruptcy law, I am legally authorized to prepare bankruptcy papers. I'm not authorized to give legal advice. Don't try to give legal advice. Don't desire to give legal advice. I'm not qualified because I'm not a member of a bar or an inn, not admitted to practice law, but I am licensed to prepare people's bankruptcy papers. That's not the intent of our discussion. But the young man, I went to his house today. He had missed 3 appointments. He didn't have the fee that we charged. And I went to his apartment. This is a man that's a teacher. The man has a degree from a Caucasian university. He's an African-American man. I get into his apartment, and I smell marijuana. There was no furniture in the apartment. The young man's eyes were bloodshot. He didn't weigh perhaps as much as one of my sons. And instead of getting angry, I almost broke down and cried. He said, why would you break down and cry? Well, listen to the rest of the story. So as I continued talking with him and collecting information to file his papers, he suddenly seized upon the fact that I was carrying a notebook as opposed to a a set of legal documents and used that as an excuse. He said, well, he'd messed up a large sum of money. Excuse me, please. Alfred, you're on the air. We are just call into the regular number, and I'll patch it.
Hold on one second. I'm going to read something from the email, okay?
All right, just call into the 805 number.
I'm not going to do it yet, though. I got to look for it first. But just
All right, call in. Tell Joe that you're on the air right now. So just call in, let me know. Okay, thanks. Good. Well, you understand we're working by ourselves. So when I told the young man that the fee was $500, which is really a bargain, a lawyer would charge $2,000, other bankrupts would prepare would charge him $850. But anyway, this young man was just overburdened with a whole set of issues. Now, if this is a young man that has graduated from college, and I hate to tell you, he is a teacher in the charter school system, graduated from one of the reputable colleges of the South that is primarily Caucasian. 50 years ago, his relatives would have been arrested for even walking on the campus, and suddenly this young man is not able to even pay his fees to file a court case. I'm going to pick this up when I come back, and I'm going to turn you over to the hands of Brother Alfred Muhammad II, who will read some material. And if anybody else would like to discuss, I will come back and continue our discussion. Alfred Muhammad II.
I'm going to read an excerpt from the Muslim Journal, and it says you have to get prepared to make it in Atlanta, the Plenty, Part 4, and it was reprinted from the Muslim Journal dated April 14th.
I'm sorry, Alfred, I pressed the wrong button.
Original transcript of this talk.
I should have hit my...
We have to grow with experience, and our senses have to become more sharpened with experience. So now it is not too late to look back at those circumstances and extract from them the lessons we need for today. Many Northerners sold slaves to Southerners, and the lesson is to never let the people who victimize you dominate you and abuse you. Never let them decide your future independently. I don't care how much they say their hearts have turned. I don't care how much they say they love us now. They themselves are also victims. But the Northerner and Southerner are victims of a monstrous past that they created for themselves. They are not in a good situation to plan my future. In fact, I think the African-American today is in the better situation to plan the future, not only for himself, for most European-Americans as well. But we are going to have to do a lot of soul searching and education and a lot of research. We're going to have to study with a sober mind. We are going to have to be able to study our social education, our social situation of the past, study those situations and study them like a scientist in a laboratory. He did not let his feelings get involved, for he is looking and studying for the facts in the situation. The scientist is looking for the natural development in the situation. He is not given to emotions. It doesn't make him less human because he is not dealing with this matter from his emotions. He still goes home and grabs.
What are you doing?
He does not let his feelings get involved, for he is looking and studying for the fact in the situation. The scientist is looking for the natural development in the situation. He is not given to emotions. It doesn't make him less human because he is not dealing with this matter from his emotions. He still goes home and grabs his tender little baby and kisses it. He feels good and holds his baby while watching television. He is not less human because he has divorced his feelings from the problem at hand, and we have to be able to do that also. When we grow up and mature in our sensitivities, we should have sharpened sensitivities. We should be cautious. Then with sharpened sensitivities, when we go into new areas, don't just go into the white man's neighborhood with no caution. That is wrong. Go in there with some caution. That is not your neighborhood. But you will have to even go into your own neighborhoods with some caution. Be cautious. Be cautious to respect him and cautious to not be hurt by him. There are dangers in this world. You can't expect 100 years of so-called freedom that is marked up with decades of lynching and terrorism by the Klan and all the evils of discrimination and Jim Crowism to disappear for us to just drop our guard. We shouldn't be moved to want to walk down Broadway with a white woman. This is much too soon. We need 2,000 years yet. And these are the kinds of concerns we need to face to make it in the promised land. And there is much more. Many in America want to see Khomeini as a monster, but look at what he did. On one side, as a victim, maybe he does look like a monster to many of you. But Imam Khomeini did a very civilized thing, too. Upon his recognizing the new leader of Russia, the great Mr. Gorbachev had truly come into a new mind as a Russian man and leader. He invites Mr. Gorbachev to accept al-Islam. There is another man that you sometimes see as a monster, President Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. I have observed him also, and I think he is just another victim of circumstances. He can present himself in a very fine way. I know this, for I have met him in person, but a real monster cannot present himself in a very fine way. A monster will be trying to present himself as himself, and a fang will show up over here. There will be something to tell on him. So I think the victim who has control over himself and can present himself in a very fine way when the situation calls for it, according to his own thinking, then he deserves respect. I am told Gaddafi went to Saudi Arabia in his own plane, although these two do not get along. In fact, I don't believe that if I was Gaddafi that I would have gone to Saudi Arabia in my plane. The Saudis questioned him concerning what he was coming for while he was still there. Gaddafi told them that he needed to borrow some money, and they let him land his plane. Now, any time a man can come to a people or a nation that he is in great trouble with, I have to respect him for having something special going for him. Granted, he was crazy and a monster. Gaddafi has something going for him, other than just financing terrorism, and that is a charge that hasn't been proven in the opinion of many. What has been proven is that Gaddafi is a victim of terrorism. All you have to do is study the history of the Libyan people for the last 50 to 75 years or more, and you will see that he's a victim of terrorism and terrorists from Europe. We just want to be truthful and straight. At this point, we are going to look at our religion and what I call its true and obvious excellence. First of all, our religion requires of us that we do not engage or join any movement or activities to promote or support something that is wrong. If we join a movement or become organized for something, we must be ourselves right. Allah says, cooperate with each other in the effort for righteousness, purity, and reverence. That reverence is for Allah, and it is reverence for those things that He has established or for those things having received universal regard. Allah also says that we are not allowed to join secret meetings and secret organizations unless it be for this, to order what is just and truthful, to promote what is honorable and right, and to promote fairness between men. In fact, the Arabic word used means fairness and righteousness between all people. We can meet secretly if our intent is good and honorable, sincere and pure, and good for the human beings at large. If we are meeting for the good of human beings at large, for honorable and upright or righteous purposes, then we can meet in secret. There may be some of us who are so silly as to think we aren't supposed to do anything in secret in this land of plenty. You had better do a whole lot in secret, but you must be well-meaning and do not have any purpose that is not honorable, as Allah says, nor do anything that you would be ashamed of if it were made known publicly. Do not mix into the charity or into what you spend that is corrupt. Do not spend the dope money for the progress of society. Do not bring the money that you stole to the masjid. Don't give that which, if it were to be made public, you would be ashamed to identify yourself in it. This is the best religion. This is the pure religion. This is the perfect religion. There are no defects in it. So Allah says himself again, Allah says, and do good. But the Arabic word for good also means excellence. That is to come from one's refined side. And that was from Imam W.D. Muhammad, reprinted from the Muslim Journal. That was dating back to April 14, 1989. That's, what, 24 to 25 years ago. And with that, I want to send it back to my father, or Religion Means Alive.
Thank you, Brother Alfred Muhammad. Wonderful worker in the cause of uplift of humanity, an outstanding worker in the cause of the Ministry of Religion Means Alive. And I hope you will post this on Facebook today and Instagram to let them know that I'm going to be addressing culture in its relationship to what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. So if you would please post that, and I hope you would tell people to listen to our broadcast, and I will be appreciative of that. Thank you. Will you please do that?
All right. Gotcha.
We love people, and we are continuing our address. I'm hoping while I'm preparing, I was trying to get my good friend, one of my dearest friends and strong worker in the cause. He has never wavered. We were able to end urban terrorism in Newark, New Jersey. A terrorist had taken over a house and proceeded to terrorize a neighborhood. And I speak of none other than our brother and friend, Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar. I had called him earlier, and if he's, I know he's on the line, if he cared to give some comments on Ferguson, perhaps he will even give comments on Minister Farrakhan, Reverend Jesse Jackson, and others, or whatever may be on his heart. If my dear brother would press one on the phone, I would love to hear from him as I prepare for this address. It is culture and its relationship to establishing the African-American people. What Fergusonville, Ferguson's, Missouri, or Fergusonville, wherever the name of that town, what does it have to do with what's going on with us? So let's have our brother and friend that I've called, and Almighty God blessed him. Let's hear, I know he has at least 15 lectures in his pocket, and he's going to speak to our people. So let's hear from our dear brother and dear friend. And he's not just a talker, he's a walker. Right now, if I told him we got to go to a courthouse and picket, he'll be there, probably with a crew of brothers. And we're going to take back to the streets of America. We're going to go back to Times Square. We're going to go back to the center of the city. And we're going to let the American people know that God has sent the liberator in the person of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad. We're not reconciliating with lies. We're not reconciliating with thieves. We're not reconciliating with criminals. We're not going to mix God and non-God material. That is to say, we can't mix God. We don't have people saying on the one hand they believe in God, on the other hand promoting a man. So let's hear now from our dear brother and dear friend. And at 3:50, I will come back. My well is dry, and I need my well to be filled. Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
Walaikum as-salam.
How my brother doing this morning?
Well, my brother is at the well, and the well is somewhat dry, and waiting for my brother to dig in the well and get me some water. You know, you from down south, you have to send somebody down to the well to get some water. So I need some water then so I can give out some water myself.
Yes, sir, brother. How's Alfred doing?
He's doing good.
Joseph, man. Tell him, guys, I miss him, man.
I saw a lady today, and she reminded me that we had removed Mark Newton out.
Allahu Akbar.
And we're going to remove more of Mark Newton, and we're going to clean our neighborhoods up.
Yeah, this is something similar to that, Brother Mal, that situation that you we had to deal with over there in Newark, that you took, that you went over there and you asked me to come over to give you a hand. And cause, see Brother Mal, we need minds that are, that can see the whole situation without bringing in emotionality and bad memories and hate. You know, we act like that we're immune to hating ourselves, Brother Mel. And that's one of the biggest problems. That's one of the biggest problems we have with ourselves, is hating ourselves. That's because you've been on the radio for a while, Brother Mel. And your focus has been and focusing us back and looking at ourselves, pretty much.
That's right.
And this is what most of us is afraid to do, buddy man. We have to be Allah say, what? You call the people to righteousness and forget to practice it yourself? And that's the statement in our holy book, buddy man.
Yes, and that's
a statement that many of the leaders is missing, buddy man. We have leaders that'll go all across the country. And I ain't gonna call no particular name, but everybody know who some of these leaders is without even have to call names, buddy man. But these people's been going cross country here and there for I don't know how long, buddy man. And this our situation as a people is still the same. When it's come down to getting our needs, buddy man. And seeing this is what I like about you, folk.
Yes, sir, brother, man. We had lost you for a minute. Continue. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was saying, brother, man. See, you have constantly been focusing on us doing for self, getting our own needs, must have, and can't do without, brother, man. And this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was all about, and this is what our freedom struggle is all about, and continues to be about, brother, man. And that is doing something for ourselves. We don't have to keep turning to the foreigners because we're not going to get no help from them. We convinced of that, brother. I know you convinced of it.
Yes,
I
sir. 1,000%.
And I've heard the talk, and I'm with you, brother. Now, and anybody that have that mindset. And this is the mindset that we need more so than anything else out in front of us. When we read scripture, brother, now, we always see. It's hard to get our people to see that a lot of the scriptures that we've been reading and then believing in for years, going to the church. I came up down south in North Carolina. I went to St. John Baptist Church, buddy. Now, I was raised up in the Christian religion, and I didn't know anything about Islam. But my mama and those people in my community, they always reminded me to be a good boy, buddy. Now.
And not to do wrong.
I heard them, brother man, because when we were coming up, and you had some friends, even though they may live next door to you, brother man, you went to school with them, but they had a family history of their family being some what we call like scroungers, brother man. They might have been liars, robbers, and thieves. Your mother she wouldn't allow them kids in our house. We couldn't bring them home, brother man.
That's
even
right.
Though we might have been buddies with him, but my mom said, you know, that's old Johnson's son. Don't bring that boy back up in here. His whole family. I know his dad, my ain't none of them. But, I mean, that's how them people did, man. They
that's
pointed
right.
out the wrongdoers in our community. They didn't cover up for them, brother, man.
That's right.
See, and this is a big mistake that we have become as Muslims. When we see wrong, we were under Elijah Muhammad, man, brother man, in the Nation of Islam. You did wrong. You were brought up on charges. You were brought down front, brother.
That's
and
right.
You were made to answer for the wrong that you did. Now, brother man, he meant the prophet that he's afraid that when he passed, that his community would follow says the Christians and the Jews go back into a hole. That his community will follow them. Now, this is something we have to be aware of. And I appreciate you, brother man, keeping this on the front burner, man, that we have to do something for ourselves, brother man, ourselves. See, all my life, brother man, I have heard people putting us down, saying we as a group of people, we ain't going to never be nothing, we couldn't be nothing, we won't be nothing, brother man.
That's
but
right.
When we take a look at those group of people, that came into the Nation of Islam like yourself, myself, brother man, when it wasn't popular. Islam wasn't popular when we became Muslim, brother man.
That's
they
right.
call us black Muslim. They call us black Muslim. They call us all kind of nasty names because we refuse to continue to believe in the way that we were believing when God blessed us to hear a new voice in the land. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad voice was a new voice in the wilderness, calling out into the wilderness, brother man, for us to come and join on to our own kind, brother man. He didn't come and ask us to join on to the Arabs or the Palestinians or the Africans or anybody. He said, come and join on to your own kind. Now this is a man that was born in Georgia, brother Emile.
That's right.
Him and his family is from Georgia, the deep south, brother Emile. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I'm seeing black folks get black men being hung on trees, brother Emile.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a desire in his heart and his soul. Move out what he have seen and what he have heard in his lifetime. He was born in the 1800s, buddy, man. Him and his wife. And they born in the 1800s, buddy, man.
That's right.
Now, we're in 2014. Now, here we are now, coming behind these great, honorable people, buddy, man, that we have heard over our lifetime, continuing trying to get, I'm talking about the one that had the consciousness of our terrible situation as a people that we were put here here in the United States of America. That's what I'm talking about, brother Mel. And I always like to say, well, God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, because this is what have came to our aid more than anything. God have answered the calls, brother Mel, of your grandmama, your great-grandmama, my grandmama, my great-grandmama, even though they know anything about Islam like we have the understanding, they knew something was wrong, brother Mel.
That's right.
They knew that we were being put down as a people. They knew that they couldn't have the same rights that other people had in this great country called the United States of America, brother Mel. But those was courageous people back then, brother Mel. Because I came up in a community, brother Mel, in North Carolina, a little town called Wallsound, right outside where Duke University. I could walk from Duke University to my house, brother Mel. That great institution where Eric C. Lincoln was taught at, brother Mel. Where Imam came numerous times to give talks at Duke University, brother. I grew up in that area, brother. Now, all of the Wake Forest, all of those great colleges, North Carolina College, A&T, Winston-Salem, all of those colleges, Johnson C. Smith. I grew up seeing those schools come together and compete in athletic sports, brother. Now, and we have some hell of a people that came out of them areas, brother. Now, so when we look now back in our history, and we still see that we have not really took the advantage of the good works of those people, brother, ma'am, like you keep trying to call them to. And I keep trying. We're trying to call them back to a memory, brother, ma'am. Not to remember the worst part of our life, but we're trying to call them back to a memory where Booker T. Du Bois said, listen, the way that we want to make progress in the future of how we teach our children to think, brother, ma'am. Now, he said that in his lifetime. He put the emphasis on how we teach our children to think, brother Emile.
Right.
To think. And Emile said he ain't talking about what kind of thinking is he talking about? Because isn't that what Jesus Christ say, peace be upon the Father, as a man and woman think it, brother Emile, in their heart, not only in their heart, but in their mind, so are they. That's what the prophet Jesus said.
Right.
Peace be upon them. Now he said, I heard that, brother Emile, before I heard Muhammad the prophet say that use fire. Before five deprive you. Use five because five can either help you make progress or it can take progress away from you. That's the same thing, brother. Now. So W.D. Du Bois, that's what he said. He said, we will make progress. Our children in the future will make progress based off the way we teach them to think. And he now said, thinking he's talking about is thinking for progress, brother. You know? See, we can think. But do we think to make progress? No. Look at our situation, brother man. And this is what you are focusing on yourself, brother man, trying to get us to think for progress, man. So,
that's
brother
right.
man, we have too many leaders, brother man, is still fighting a battle in the past tense, brother man, in the past tense. You know, that's a group of monkeys, Email pointed out to us in Africa, brother man, a group of monkeys. Every year they'll come out, brother man. I've seen it on TV, the Nature Channel. And they have like a lion, something like a lion. For them. They one of them be on one side, the other one be on the other side. And they run up to that lion, and brother man, you act like they getting ready to kill one another. Now they do that for a little while, and then they go on right back on to their little territory until the next year time come out to do that, brother man. Man, that's how we are. We're somewhat like that. But every time a situation come upon us, brother man, like you getting ready to talk about. On in Ferguson, I'm waiting to hear your insight on that, brother man. because this is the kind of mindset you have, Brother Man. When you look at these situations, I've been with you, like when we had to deal with Martin Newton over there, Brother Man. It's a different, Brother Man, going out on the battlefield and making progress in the fight that you're fighting than going out on the battlefield, coming back home, waiting for another charge word to come to you to get you out of your bed, to get you to do something without people having to keep motivating you and prying you, sticking you with that pry like they're sticking them animals, them cows and things, to get them to go where they want them to go. And that takes a lot of energy out of a person who is alive and conscious, Brother Man. You know that. Because we witnessed that, Brother Man. We go over to Newark now, and we got a lot of imams and things in Newark. We got a lot of Muslims in Newark. But how many of them came out, Brother Man? But how many of those Brother Man, how many of them emails came out and helped?
I don't think we had any. One
came out one time. That was Mubashir Uta. He came out. That's
only
the one I can
time
remember.
Did he show up?
Yes, but he was appealing, and those people, those are Muslims that was asking for their brothers and sisters in the community to come and help them from somebody that was persecuting them, Brother Imam.
That's right.
And we come to find out when we start really working, this guy had been making a living for over 20 some years.
That's right.
How he make a living for him and his family. This man sued the mayor, Brother Man. He was sued
right.
Prosecutor. He looked like he had the whole police the system on the field, Brother Man. They were scared they didn't do something with him.
Yeah.
So you were asked to come, and you asked me to come. And I joined on with you there, and I got a hell of an experience with that, Brother Man. And the experience that I have, Brother Man, it comes from me hearing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and being in the Nation of Islam as a FOI. When the call was made to come out for call out, Brother Man, we had to meet the call, Brother Man. You unless you were sick or something was wrong with you, if you miss 3 days, Brother Man, we come to find out what's wrong with you. Hey, man, where's Brother so-and-so? We ain't seen none of this. Hey, Brother Lieutenant John. That's what made me. I was a lieutenant, Brother Squad Leader at the time. Brother Squad Leader, Brother Lieutenant, whatever. He said, go over there and see what's you and Brother's investigator, go and see what's wrong with our Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. Where to go investigate Sister too, Brother Man. So we go and find out what was wrong with our brother. And if they needed our help, Brother Man, we came to their aid, man.
That's right.
So when the brother was being, and his wife were being persecuted by this brother named Martin Newton, whatever his name. Hey, Brother Man, you answered the call, man. And when I just listened to your show and I heard what you were talking about, that was in my spirit from being a soldier in the Nation of Islam to come to the aid of my brother. So you invited me, I answered, and that was a heck of a reward for me, Brother Man. Brother Man, don't you know that's still what we still in that fight right now? That's what we
more so now than ever.
More so now than ever, Brother Man. You could not sit home when we had sorry to call out. I went to the temple in Patterson. I helped build that temple. We got a number. I'm Elijah Muhammad. That was the last number he gave us, gave to a temple. Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us that number, temple number 76, Brother Man. Brother Man, on Monday night, we had to call out, Brother Man. You had to come with a pencil, a pad, your Muhammad speaks, and we had sections that we said, okay, we're going up to the Alabama Project today. To wake up today, we're going to try to see how many we can get to come out to the temple Wednesday night. Especially when we had a night of guests, when Minister James, Minister James Sabah, the son of thunder, he would go to different masses, different little areas, Brother Man. That was a treat when he came. So when we found out that Minister James was going to be out that Wednesday, Brother Man, or that Friday, or that Sunday, hey, Brother Man, all stops were pulled out. You got to get all care. You, hey, everybody, sister and brother, we got to go get some people up in this temple. Why? Because this man was bringing the word from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was a chief representative, Brother Man.
That's right.
Of our leader, the most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he was qualified because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad named him the son of thunder, so he was qualified. And we wanted everybody to hear what he had to say about that little black man called Elijah Muhammad, Brother Imam.
That's right.
That little man that stood up in the wilderness of North America in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, Brother Imam, for his people.
That's right.
He stood up for his people, Brother Man. His wife stood up for his people, her people, Brother Man. We had the mighty FOI and the MGT that you and I, that's what gave birth to you and me, Brother Imam. We were from among that crew of people, man, that would go out into the community. We didn't care in the rain, the sleet, the hell. I remember what Captain Shaw told us one time. raining, Brother Emanuel, raining, pouring down. You know what Captain Shaw told us, Brother Emanuel?
What?
He said, we the FOI. He said, you the FOI. I said, look here. He said, it don't rain in us, it rain on us. So let's get ready to go out here and get our people. You hear what he said, Brother Emanuel?
Yes, sir.
He said, don't rain in us, it's rain on us. So put your raincoats and boots on. We're going out here and get our people. That's the kind of people we had standing up
that's
in front of us.
That's the spirit we got to have.
That's the kind of spirit we need right now, Brother Imam. We need imams. We need brothers and sisters that don't mind being criticized by the criticizers, Brother Imam. And that's what attracted me to the imam when he stood up and said, them the kind of people he need with him. Imams, I need people with me that don't mind the criticizers being criticized because he had been criticized all of his life.
That's right.
Because he was born a Muslim. His family, the Muhammad family, Brother Imam, they stood up as a group of people. And out of that family, Brother Imam, God chose the father and the mother of them people, of the Pool family, who became Muhammad family, to fight for the upliftment, the dignified position that our ancestors were striving to put us in from Frederick Douglass' time, Brother Imam, before he even stood up and recognized us as a leader. Those black people were brought from Africa and were taken, and what was taken away from them? Their culture, their identity, their social life, mostly, Brother Imam. And most of all, they took our God away from us, Brother Imam. But
right.
Almighty God is merciful, and God intervened, Brother Imam. And he gave us mans to join on with on the Elijah Muhammad, like Captain Raymond Sarit, Supreme Captain Raymond Sarit, Elijah Muhammad II, Minister Isaiah, Minister James Shabazz, both of them, Minister James Shabazz from Chicago, Minister James Shabazz from Newark, Jeremiah Shabazz from Philadelphia, Brother Imam.
That's right.
Ali Rashid, Captain Ali Rashid, Everett, out in California, brother, and them two brothers, Brother Imam, the Kareem brother, one from California, one from Connecticut, Brother Imam. All of Brother Imam, you know them. You know them. These were people, Brother Imam, that heard the call, Brother Imam, and they answered the call. And their children, their grandchildren are still around. All of my children, I have four children, daughters, six daughters, Brother Imam. Two of them came up through, four of them came up under the honor of Elijah Muhammad. Strong, Brother Imam. They used to go to my wife and myself, we would take them. My wife would make their little outfits for them, Brother Imam, every Wednesday, every Friday, and every Sunday, Brother Imam. We were down at the temple, And, Brother Imam, we went out and we fished for the people, man. And we can't, this is the time that we need to be doing this more so than ever now than we ever done before. Because that situation happened out there in Missouri, Brother Imam, don't you know what happened here in Newark, Brother Imam, and New York? Every day there's a killing over here in Brownsville, Brother Imam.
That's right.
And Brother Imam, these young children that are doing this here, these kids that are doing this here, I'm talking about 15 years old, 16. They got all on the news, 16-year-old. This is a little boy trying to rape a woman in broad daylight. Something wrong here, Brother Imam.
That's right.
And we sitting around, Brother Imam. We sitting around trying to imitate foreigners and their language and speaking their language. And speaking, God said he would raise us from someone to speak into your own language. Brother Imam, when that white man was putting the whip on our mothers and fathers back during the time for slavery, what language did they call out to God in, Brother Imam?
God, huh? Whatever language they could speak.
That, Brother Imam, it was the language that they were speaking when they were whooping their backs in Georgia, in Mississippi, in North Carolina, in South Carolina, Brother Imam, in New York, too. They called out in the language, Brother Imam, that their mothers and fathers prayed to God in. God ain't God so small that he can't hear you, whatever you call. He hear you, Brother Imam. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in between. God is the one that said he formed and shaped you in the womb and give you your language and your color in the womb as he pleases. He know what kind of language you're speaking in. So, Brother Man, we ain't got time to keep hearing these guys trying to act like you can't get the religion because you don't know Arabic. What this honor, I don't know no Muslim, Brother Man, other than Imam Muhammad in this modern day time that have gotten more people to recognize the word Allah and As-Salaam alaykum than the honor of Elijah Muhammad. He ain't speaking no Arabic, Brother Man.
That's right.
And the reason why Brother Imam Alfred and Brother Mubashir is in the ranks of Islam now because of him calling us to the religion, Brother Imam, in our language. And those
that's right. If there had been anybody else calling me in the language, I wouldn't have listened to them.
You want to listen to them because we want to know what they were speaking to. Brother Imam, we want to know what the honorable Elijah Muhammad talked for 44 years, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir.
In the wilderness of North America, brother, you know, they came from all parts of the country trying to convince him that he wasn't taking the right religion. He said, I know. But he knew this here, that he read what God said. They planned and he planned, and God is the best of planners. Now,
that's
the God that on the last Muhammad had his faith in, brother, you know.
That's right.
He had his faith in that God, brother, you know, that spoke to his heart and his soul and his mind. And it was him and his wife. And those honorable, noble men and women that were with them to call themselves FOIZMDT is the reason why we standing here in America now as Muslims, brother man, with the right understanding, because born from them was a son. A son, brother man, Wallace D. Muhammad. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. He was born from them people. He was born from a people, brother man, that is still struggling in the world today for self-identity more than anything. We still need to understand our self-identity, brother, man. I think you're doing a good job in trying to get them to see it. We still have a problem with identity, brother. We still got an identity crisis, brother, man. Brother, man,
yes,
I see brothers, I stood in temple number 7C down there. We went in FOI class together, brother, man. We went out on call out. With our bow ties on, clean shaven, we look like bankers and lawyers, brother man, doctors, brother man. I see these brothers now, brother man. I know them. They walk past me on Fulton Street, Bedford Avenue, you know, over in Brown, over in Crown Heights, you know, Bedford Stuy, Flatbush, Brooklyn. And when I pass them, brother man, they got red beards. Got red beards, brother man. Some of them black as the Ace of Spades with red beards, brother man. Got on long dresses. They call it Jelly Belen. It's a dress, brother man. The man pointed out them night clothes. Them the kind. That's how those people get dressed on and part of that world to go to bed at night. They got us walking around in the daytime in night garments, brother man. And we think that we are. Oh, that brother there, he's deaning, brother. He's deaning. Just like Newton Martin went and took that cigar and burnt his forehead, brother man. They made it look like he was doing a whole lot of serious praying. Ain't no way in the world. You told them then. Ain't no way in the world you can be praying with the kind of mind you got, brother. Okay, who
that's
you
right.
praying to?
Right.
And treating your brother and your sister like that. He attacked the brother over there, brother man, and his
yes,
wife.
Sir.
A physical attack. And brother man, you remember when we were going? We went to that big outdoors affair they had. He tried to terminate you, brother man. Then, and you
that's
stood
right
up in his face, told him you ain't getting ready to do nothing. Brother, you ain't getting ready to do nothing. I'm your brother. You try to appeal to him right then with good sense, brother man. I think he heard you, cause he ain't do nothing but walk away. So this is the kind of things we have to keep and remember, brother man, that we are a special people here on this earth, brother man. There is no people in the history of the world that have gone through the fiercest furnace in the manner that God took us through, brother man. And God took us through this here, brother man, because we are the people that God has chosen to correct the wrong in the world, brother man.
That's right.
And this is the greatest Christian nation on the face of the planet Earth, brother man. You and I, we was born in the United States of America, brother man. You were born in Virginia. I'm born in North Carolina. And a whole lot happened. When we was coming up as kids in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, brother man, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, all of those states, brother man, that blacks was inhabiting, a whole lot of things took place in their lives that they did not understand what was going on, brother man. But now we got understanding now, brother man, because the scriptures to get wisdom and knowledge, but most of all get an understanding. So when you come forward with the mind you got, brother man, and other imams come forward with understanding, that's what our people need, brother man. In Ferguson, where they're out there running around like a chicken with their head cut off because of this young man. Yes, brother man, we feel that. We feel that, but that ain't the first time. I think they killed about 100 people one week out there in Chicago, brother man.
That's
about
right.
Those people? But man, what about those people? What about them little kids who were getting ready to go to college and they took them out behind that schoolyard in Newark and shot them down, brother man?
That's right.
What about those kids? What about their parents? They still suffering. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be tentative to these things, but brother man, we can't keep going out there and listen to these people. They gather us together and do like the old monkeys do, holler and scream about what the white man did, and we ain't doing nothing ourselves to clean up our community. I'm with you, brother man. We need to go back out on them street corners like we did in the Nation of Islam. We need to go back out there with bullhorns and call them people to sober-minded lesson and teachings, as we say, Brother Mel. Go call them with good common sense. Good, this religion is a religion of common sense, Brother Mel. We need to address these people and speak to their condition that we all have faced in our lifetime as being blacks in America, Brother Imam. This ain't no new game we playing. But we need people that are not afraid to stand up, Brother Imam, and tell the truth. And tell the truth, Brother Imam, because that's what God orders us to do. Allah said, tell the truth, even if it's against yourself. Now, Brother Imam, that young man out there, Mr. Brown, I've seen how they shot that boy down. And, Brother Imam, I've seen Brother Imam, what did Martin Newton do to Brother F, and his wife out there, Brother Man, that when you went over there
he intimidated him and almost tried to kill him.
Brother Man, if it hadn't been for his wife, I ain't no telling what he would have did to Andy, Brother Man, because he had jumped on him and was shooting him, man. And so you came to the aid, Brother Man. And you stuck with him until he got released. Martin Newton, this guy had a history. I think he caused a Caucasian lady to have a heart attack by how he took her, trying to come dominate her property, and how he mistreated that lady, Brother Mel. I think he benefited that lady.
In fact, he had two Caucasians to have a heart attack.
Yes, because
after he left Andy's, he had a heart attack.
Yes.
This man had a heart attack. The other lady and a black lady died at his hands.
Because of how he was conducting himself and called himself a Muslim. He wasn't none but a gangster, Brother Imam.
That's right.
He wasn't none but a thug. He wasn't none but a person that paid on the weak. We can't allow that. So when I look at what happened, Brother Imam, and we have to be, Brother Mim, I don't know whether I've been paying attention. They've been showing a picture of this young man that got killed out there in Ferguson. And they got keep showing this picture of him going into this bodega, Brother Mim. If that's him, I don't know if that's him, but they saying that's him. He go into a bodega, and he snatches up some cigars, don't pay for them. And when the little proprietor, I think it was him, would come and try to stop him and confront him about stealing out the store, he put some mustard in the face and went on out the store. Now they say that's the same brother that same day. I think that's when that happened to him. I don't know. That's because we know we can't believe everything that the news media say. That's how come, Brother Man, religion, me and I, see, when we have shows like that focus on getting the truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth. That's what those are the kind of shows that we should listen to, Brother Man.
That's right.
Not shows that want to make you hot-headed and play on your emotionality and don't give you both sides of the story. You know, we were taught in the Nation of Islam, we have to investigate things before we go getting really involved now, Brother Mel. And if our brother and sister was wrong, Brother Mel, we didn't side with them just because they were Muslim. They were wrong. They're going to have to pay for the wrong that they did, Brother Mel. You know, that's how we were brought up now. You know, when you were brought up on charges in the Nation of Islam, now you could be the minister's son, you could be the captain's son or the sister captain's daughter, or a secretary daughter's son. But if you have done something wrong, Brother Imam, the underlying Muhammad, he gonna charge you for that wrong that you did. That's what we had to do, Brother Imam. And when he say you will put out the Nation of Islam, that was one of the worst punishments you could get. And Brother Imam, you know, sometimes you might have been put out, and you was innocent, Brother Man, because, you know, we realize this here, Brother Man. Even in what places they call holy houses and things, there's a lot of devils, a lot of skunks up in there, too, Brother Man.
That's right.
So there ain't no need us trying to act like we puritanicals now, because we know that we come from all walks of life and take some of us to be cleaned up longer than other ones, Brother Man.
That's right.
And we still have some ain't got cleaned up yet, Brother Man.
That's right.
So what we are doing, we constantly. Now your man said, what is a Muslim? And they said the world say the Muslim is one that submits his will to the will of God. Your man said, yeah, that's a good. But I choose to say one who is conforming him or her will to God. We conforming, Brother Man, all the time.
Every day we get up, brother, man, we're trying to conform our will to the will of God. Why? Like Muhammad said, you can go to you can go to bed a Muslim, wake up a devil the next morning, brother, man.
Right.
That's wisdom there, brother, man.
That's right.
Wisdom there. Because this society is steady working on you to take you out of your original nature that God created us in. That's the devil's job. That's what he said he's going to do, brother, man. So we need people that are conscious of that, brother, man, and that can see. They can see the schemes of the shaitan. And when you fight, brother, man, this is what we have to do, brother, man. You and I and Brother Abdul, when we came over there with Brother Andy, we put our head together, sitting out there in the swing. They said, man, how are we going to deal with these people? We seen what they were doing, brother, man. I remember that sister came right up in your face, I had to step in front. She talking about killing you. Now, here goes, this is a woman now, supposed to be a Muslim and a chemo. And the only thing you're doing is trying to appeal to Martin Newton and his family to stop doing Brother Ian and his family wrong and calling yourself a Muslim. He said, man, well, you're supposed to be a Muslim. You're trying to appeal to his good side, brother. Man, I was there with you. And there's a man calling himself a Muslim, and he done already broke up into a house that didn't even belong to him, became a squatter in somebody else's house, and then did damage to that person and sued the person.
Isn't that something?
Now, what was that man? What was that elder man name who gave him that apartment? He turned on him to cost that man $60,000 to get rid of him. What was his name?
The real estate man. I remember. Yeah.
What was that? You remember him, brother? Man? That man.
I remember him. Can't remember his name now.
The man gave him a job and everything, brother, man. And then gave him a place to stay. He went up into that man's house, brother, man. And that man wound up having to pay something like $60,000, brother, man, to get rid of this guy. So what you asked him to do, when we went and checked the background on him, brother, man, you remember you brought his profile out there and read his whole list of people that he had done that to, brother, man. You read right in front of him. And listen, this is the man here that is persecuting our brother Andy and his wife. And when we look at his record, and he called himself a Muslim, brother, man, he should have been in the penitentiary a long time ago. In the penitentiary, not in the jail, in the penitentiary. Long time ago, brother, man. It wasn't till when you met with a Governor Christian, brother, man, and it was raining like, I couldn't make it that day because it was pouring down rain. It was storming. Well, that's when you got a chance to talk to Governor Christie about that situation, brother, man. See, a lot of people don't know this here, but I know this. I know. And that's when the results came not so long after that. That's when they really closed the books on that, brother, because it was during Ramadan, brother, man. Remember, it was during Ramadan when we started getting on that case. It was during the month of Ramadan. So we had made up, he said, by the end of Ramadan, we have enough faith that God's going to have this thing resolved. We're going to get rid of this guy by the end of Ramadan. And sure enough, brother, man, sure enough, God bless us to have to get rid of him out of the hair, Brother Andy, tormenting Brother Andy hard. Brother Andy and his wife, both of them work hard, man. You know, hard. They're hard workers. They believe in God. And this man tormented them. And, brother, man, it was during the month of Ramadan that situation with him was taken care of, during the holy month of Ramadan. Because we went over there every day. Only time we didn't go over there, brother, man, on the Saturday, it rained. I think it rained about two Saturdays. They stopped us from gathering there. Well, we went there, but we just couldn't do what we normally do. But we still there. We still met and discussed a strategy, brother, man, of how to deal with this guy. Because when we went and got his record, this man, has sued him about twice, didn't it, brother, man?
Yes, sir.
And I think he sued the district attorney, sued the judge and everybody. He was suing everybody. And we were trying to wonder why they ain't did nothing to him. He said, man, this guy got to be working for the government or somebody, because they act like they was afraid to even deal with him. But I have to bear witness, brother, man, when you got on the case and you stuck with it to the end, and that's how they finally got that man out of there. It's no different now, brother, man, than the situation that's going on in Ferguson, that's going on in Flatbush, that's going on in Camden, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, Clifton, all over, brother, man, New York, upstate, downstate, wherever. It's still going on, brother, man. And it's not going to stop until we realize that there's a creator, brother, man, over all of this here. And whether you be Christian, Muslim, or Jew, that's what Allah says. But if you're a believer, whether you be a Christian believer, a Jewish believer, or Muslim, if you believe in God, Brother Ma'am, in the afterlife, God said you will have no fear, nor will you grieve. Now, Brother Ma'am, how can we not look in our community? We ain't no majority here in America, but we're a minority, Brother Ma'am.
Yes,
most of the people that I live around is Christian. So how are you going to not have some kind of relationship or association? And all of my family, most all of my family is Christians, Brother Ma'am. Now, do you think that I'm not going to associate with my first cousin and my second cousin? I don't care. Long as I know they got some, we got the same blood and they Christian. Brother Ma'am, I'm going to try to reach them some kind of way to help them see that, look at here. Just because you believe as a Christian, and I believe as a Muslim, we the same people. Look at all we have to do is put our arm out and look at one another, look at one another's face. But we got a problem. As a black Christian, you got a problem. And as they were calling us as a black Muslim, I got a problem. And what is the problem, Brother Ma'am? Is the problem is that we have a common enemy, Brother Ma'am. We have a common enemy, and that common enemy ain't no white man, particularly, or no black man, or brown man, or no, it's a mind, Brother Ma'am, that we fighting against.
That's right.
And that mind that we fighting against, that evil mind could be in the skin color of a red man, a brown man, a yellow man, a white man, or a black man, Brother Ma'am. That's the shaitan mind that we fighting, Brother Ma'am.
That's right.
We're fighting an evil mind, a wicked heart.
That's right.
And what the email say the devil was? He said the devil is a mind that has wrong thinking, wrong ideas, and wrong concepts, Brother Ma'am. Don't want to do right in their mind or in their spirit or in their heart. That's what we're fighting against. And that's what God admonished us to do. Allah said, fight not against your brother and sister because of their skin color, Brother Ma'am. He said, fight against the scheme. Well, whose scheme? The scheme of the shaitan.
That's right.
That's what we're fighting against, Brother Ma'am. Everybody can't see that scheme.
That's right. By us
coming through that Nation of Islam, Brother Ma'am, and long as you've been fighting that scheme, Brother Ma'am, you qualified now to fight. This what I read in a Yusuf Ali translation one time, Brother Ma'am. That stuck with me. And this is what this man said, Brother. He was dressing a surah, and he was giving commentary on it. He said, don't you know there's many people that think they are fighting in the cause of God, Brother Ma'am? Many people, they'll say they're fighting in the cause of God. So he said, but this is what he said, Brother Ma'am. He said, but they don't even have the correct understanding of what right and wrong is, Brother Ma'am. That's powerful. And that's what's wrong now, Brother Ma'am. We got many people standing up, running and wants to be heard and saying they're fighting in the cause of God. And Brother Ma'am, they don't even have the right perception of what right and wrong is, Brother Ma'am.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So we need people that understand to have the right perception of who God is first, Brother Ma'am. Because Imam Muhammad was blessed to let us in on a powerful understanding. He said, if you have the wrong perception of God in your life, Brother Ma'am, he said, if you have the wrong perception of God, then you got the wrong perception of everything else in your life. Now, that's something to think on, Brother Ma'am.
That's right.
Because you and I, we came through a process of having the wrong idea of God, Brother Ma'am. That's how come you can talk so strong from the position that you talk from as an imam. Because, Brother Ma'am, we have been corrected in our thinking, man.
Our thinking
was wrong, Brother Ma'am. Even though our spirit was strong, our spirit is still strong. But we have to correct the thinking of these people's minds, Brother Imam. That's what this thing is about.
That's right.
Brother Ma'am, I hear you, and I take the approach like that. We're not trying to convert these people, make them become Muslim. Because we can't do that.
That's right.
You can't. On Allah make Muslims. Allah make you Christian. That's
right.
What you want to be. Or He make you a Jew. That's what you want to be. But Brother Ma'am, one thing we cannot do. We can't impose nothing on nobody. There's no compulsory in our religion. We can't make nobody become a Muslim. We're obligated, Brother Ma'am, to tell the truth. That's what we're obligated to do.
Right.
To tell the truth to the best of our ability, Brother Ma'am. And when we hear emails like yourself, Brother Ma'am, that come out on the Block Talk Radio, because there's a whole lot of Block Talk Radio, and I listen
That's
to some
right.
of these people. They ain't got name. They ain't got no. They don't bit more have no business addressing the public than a man in the moon, Brother Ma'am.
That's right. That's
because
exactly
because
right.
some of them that think they so wise, Brother Ma'am, they don't even begin to see and understand the good works or the back of the people that we're standing upon that were called the FOI and the MGT, buddy, man. Some of these people right now called the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a conqueror, buddy, man.
Not knowing
it was that little man, brother, ma'am, and that little black woman, his wife, that had the courage, brother, ma'am, to call a group of people to listen to them and support them. And that's how the Nation of Islam was formed, brother, ma'am. And that's what gave birth to you and me, brother, ma'am. We born from that womb, brother, ma'am. And the foreigners, they was here in America. But none of them went out into our communities and made the word Allah register on the hearts and the souls and the minds of black people, brother, ma'am.
That's right.
They didn't do that. One born in Georgia, from Georgia, brother, in two-step Georgia, I think it is. And the man said his father took two giant steps out into the world.
That's right.
Who we owe our debt to, brother, ma'am. First of all, our debt is to Almighty God, Allah. And then we have to be thankful that God gave us courageous men from Frederick Douglass, Dr. King. Look at all these people, brother, man. That stood up from among us and talking our language, brother, you
know.
That's what registers on the hearts and souls of Mubashir that was born down in Durham, North Carolina, 1144 Street. I wasn't even born in no hospital. I was born in the house that I grew up in, brother, ma'am. 1144 Street, Walltown.
Same here, brother, ma'am. I was born there, too.
Yeah, I went to St. John Baptist Church. Brother, ma'am, I remember the church burnt down to the ground, man. I was about 89. And brother, ma'am, this is the truth. The only thing that didn't burn down was that picture they had of Jesus Christ. I got that picture, brother, ma'am. And, brother, ma'am, this was puzzling me. Man, I got that picture. And I took it home, put it up on our wall, me and my brother. And before we went to bed at night, brother man, we got down and said our prayers. Brother man, but do you know what color that Jesus was, the color of his hair? It was not blonde, brother man. And I wasn't conscious about his dress. I said, and I never could, his hair was not blonde. Because all the other pictures that we seen in our community, in my mama house, see my mama owned houses, the boy stayed next door. And the girl stayed over there in the house with my mama. And we had our own little house. My mama owned the house, and we stayed next door. So when we come over, and we had to go over and eat breakfast in mama house, all of us eat breakfast together. But all in my mama's house, where the girls and my mama were, was that picture that Jesus Christ with blonde hair and blue eyes, brother. Yeah. And when I went to, when most of the churches and most of the business, that's the kind of picture I had. But this is one of the few pictures I ever seen in my life. And I had that picture, big picture, brother man. And it had dog hair and dog eyes, brother man. And that registered on me, but not with the conscience now that when I look back at it, brother man. And that's the only thing that burned down at the church, brother man. Now you know what kind of effect that must have had on us, me and my brothers, man.
I think you did.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother man. Brother ma'am, we put that picture up in our bedroom. Before we went to bed at night, we had to say our prayers, buddy ma'am. And we got down in front of that picture, and we would pray, buddy ma'am. But
whenever
I'm seeing
you're ready,
how God,
buddy ma'am, I'm ready.
Okay, I know you should have been out ready now, buddy ma'am.
Yes, sir, fine. I enjoyed it.
Yes, sir, buddy ma'am, I hope that God blesses you, and I hope that the people hear your concern, really your mind and your interest on what happened out there in Ferguson, buddy ma'am. And I pray to God that He bless you to really help the leadership to see what is needed and what must be done right now, brother man. Right now.
You have helped us tremendously. I'm gonna play a tape of the commercial for the Mosque Cares Convention. I want you all to urge.
Labor Day weekend. Celebrate.
Okay, brother man. I thank you, brother man. Once again,
Thank you, brother man.
And may Allah bless you to reach the hearts of the good people, no matter what color they are, brother man. That God will bless you to reach their hearts, their mind, and their soul with the truth. And I know He's going to bless you to bring. May Allah continue to bless your show. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, my dear brother.
The New Africa Marketplace, open to the public, the Business Expo, and a culture night of live entertainment. The Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention provides an opportunity to vend and shop. Open Friday, August 29th, from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 30th, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, August 31st, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Labor Day weekend, attend the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the Tinley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Drive in Tinley Park. For tickets, a vendor's booth, or information online, visit MuslimConvention.net or call 708-679-1587. That's 708-679-1587.
I'm going to play it again so you all can hear the progress that Imam Muhammad's community is making, and to know that we are going to continue this legacy. Let us play I want all you to meet me at the Mosque Cares Convention. Let's play it up again, and we thank our brother.
Labor Day weekend, celebrate the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention, reviving our unity through the legacy of excellence. This year's theme. This three-day world-class event, established by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, is August 29th, 30th, and 31st. The convention will feature interactive and empowering programming, workshops, youth activities, the New African Marketplace, the public, the business expo, and a culture night of live entertainment. The Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention provides an opportunity to vend and shop. Open Friday, August 29th, from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 30th, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And Sunday, August 31st, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Labor Day weekend, attend the Mosque Cares 25th Annual Muslim Convention at the Tinley Park Convention Center, 18451 Convention Drive in Tinley Park. For tickets, a vendor's booth, or information online, visit MuslimConvention.net or call 708-679-1587. That's 708-679-1587.
Thank you, dear beloved people. I thank our brother. He really tremendously helped us out. And wanted to point something out. I generally don't do this, and this is not to you Christian friends. I'm not trying to invite you to Al-Islam, but I think that our holy book and the word of God, the revelation that came 600 years after Christ Jesus, peace be upon Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read from it. We seek the refuge of Almighty God from the accursed devil. That is the mindset of the one who wants to take us away from our destiny. That's what we're saying. We seek refuge in God. And it reads as follows. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alif Lam Mim, the Roman Empire has been defeated and a land close by. But they, even after this defeat of theirs, will soon be victorious. Within a few years, when Allah is the decision in the past and in the future, on that day shall the believers rejoice. With the help of Allah, he helps whom he wills, and he's exalted in might, most merciful. It is the promise of Allah that never does depart from his promise, but most men understand not. They know about the outer things in the life of this world, but of the end of things they're healing. Do they not reflect in their own minds? Not, but for just end and for a term appointed, did Allah create the heavens and the earth and all between them? Yet are there truly many among men who deny their Lord, their meeting with their Lord at the resurrection. Dear beloved people, I think this is most appropriate to approach the word of God as we address Ferguson and culture. I usually don't approach these subjects because our dear brother and friend, Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar, has shown us that we are people. Every year we are diverted our attention to some killing. Somebody killed us. It's Eleanor Bumpers. It's Shea. It's Michael Brown. It's Trayvon Martin. Every year there's another killing. So I won't address the particularity of this. I'm going to address us. And I'm also going to address that God said we are going to be victorious. That's the first thing we need to know. And we are coming up on the 40th year anniversary of Imam Muhammad's mission. We're approaching 40 years of truth being brought to us, not as myths, not as complicated concepts, but we're being brought face to face with God's plan for the human being. So I want you to text your friends. I want you to text your neighbors. I want you to text your people and tell them that Imam Alfred Muhammad is on the air. I also want you to tell our people to listen to our broadcast yesterday where we had Sister Ama Cole Kadar. She talked, and she lifted up the memory of a young brother named Nasir Slaughter. Listen, folks. Listen, Nasir Slaughter. Nasir Slaughter was an honor student, a great young man, but he too was killed. Not at the hands of a police officer. He was killed at the hands of one of our own people. And God says, oh, you who believe, your own self obligates you. I want you to keep this in mind. We're not here to play on emotion. And I'm giving this address, and I hope it goes out to Ferguson, Illinois. Ferguson, Missouri. East St. Louis, Missouri. Even down to Florida, where two of our brothers have been killed. But you can't even spend time talking just about that. What about the killers we have? Now, I know some of you are going to get mad. I don't give a damn. I'm here because I love you. I'm giving the rest of my life, and I'm with those who love you. If we can get 1% of our people to come and accept this message and this work, we will be successful by God's grace to be able to teach our people, to be able to explain to our people what happened, and to be able to invite our people to a way of life that will give them the dignity. And we will see the fall of corrupt murderers. We will see the fall of corrupt charlatan leadership. We will see the fall of corrupt governmental officials, fall of corrupt cultural officials, the fall of corrupt education officials, the fall of even business officials who oppress people and deny them their right to the tree of life. That's what we have seen. That's what that verse in the Quran was addressing. The Roman Empire will soon have fallen. If you really understand what I'm saying today, dear people, you will understand that these Western governments are almost failed states. So I want to continue depart from this lecture and go back to my opening remarks. I told you that I visited with a young man, a college graduate, a graduate of a planner class university, an educator, a learned man, not a person off the corner, not a person who's been deprived of a high school education, not a person who's been deprived of a cultural education, not a person that's been deprived of business acumen, not a person who's been deprived of civilization, not a person who's been deprived. But I watched on his huge television. And for those who didn't hear this story earlier, this was a young man who was supposedly a client of mine in a bankruptcy preparation that I was working on for him. I traveled about 2 hours to his home only to find out that he didn't have the money. He said he pretty much had messed the money up in a script joint. So I laid his fears and told him that I was not somebody foreign to his lifestyle. I know about that lifestyle. I don't claim, I'm saying I ain't. So I don't claim sainthood. But I do say this as a people, that this is one of our best and one of our brightest young men. This is one of our best and brightest who should be a shining star in the educational world, who should be a shining star in the business world, who should be a shining star in the cultural world, who should be a shining star in the governmental life. But instead, he has been reduced to the lowest of the low. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying.
And I'm here not to address as the charlatans of descending upon Ferguson, Missouri. The charlatans are there so they can get another $2,000 check. The charlatans are there so they can get another television program. The charlatans are there so they can sell more tapes. The charlatans are going to tell the people what they want to hear. But I tell you, if I were there, I would ask the permission of the people to address thou souls. I'm there, first of all, to say we stand for right. We stand for the non-execution of our people. But we also stand for what God says in the Quran when God says that he will not change the condition of a people till they change what's troubling thy soul. Now, I know a lot of you don't want to hear this, and the reason you don't want to hear this because you don't want to address yourself. If I wish I'd heard the tape of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1974, February 26th at Savior's Day, urging African Americans to address their own souls and their own self. And what we see needed, that is needed, is we have to call our people to a moral sense of right and wrong. I heard Imam Muhammad say February 2007 that our leaders have allowed our people to turn into waste. They have allowed our people to turn into a pile of waste. Yes, because in fact they would not call them like W.E.B. Du Bois did. To think the extent to which we would be freedom, to be free, is the extent that we think independently. They will not call them to what Carter Woodson called, and he called for how to make a living. They will not call them to high civilization that Mary McLeod Bethune called. They will not call them to what Marcus Garvey said, that we want to take our space among the constellation of the stars. They would not call them to Dr. King, who said we didn't want us to be judged by the color of our skin, by the content of our character. They don't want them to be called to the great work of Do For Self and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In fact, I would dare say 98% of the young men and women in Ferguson, Missouri, are not connected to our ancestral aspiration. So the first thing we need to do is call them to that. That's the first thing. We need to call our people to the way of God, to a sense of right and wrong, to a need for productivity. Stop worrying about trying to convince white folk. Dr. Elijah Muhammad did enough. He put a mirror to white folks' face and told them that their life had been a life of a devil. So I'm not here to try to work on Caucasians. I'm not here to try to reform the system. I'm here to call our people to the divine destiny that God has assigned to them. That's our job. Our job is to clean us up, establish what's right and what's wrong, and then establish to call our people to the responsibility that God has established for us. That's what we have to establish. We have to be prepared to establish our people to an operative culture where we learn to work together, that even in our home life, that we learn to respect mama, that mama learned to respect daddy, and daddy learned to respect mama. This is the thought. That's the first thing we need to address. See, we've been conditioned to have leadership that go out just like the monkey once a year to stand up and beat their chest and to have a feel-good and a blame game. But we have not been conditioned to have leadership, at least the last 50 years, that have called us to good sense, to call us to commonality, to call us first to our own humanity. See, before you can preach to race identity and ethnic identity, the first thing you have to preach to people is identity as their humanity. And upon teaching them that, because I know when it all subsides, when Ferguson flips from the news, when CNN is no longer there, MSNBC, Al Jazeera is no longer there, when the news media is not spotlighted on us, we're going to go right back to the same old niggerdom that we had before. So it's my job to address us, and I need your support. I would travel to Ferguson, Missouri 3 months from now and have a public address to the people. And I'm telling you something, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, and all the rest of the C's and I's and Tel Aviv Young Vision are not going to cover it. As I sat in this young man's living room, over and over again, I saw images of Rick Ross. Rick Ross, Mr. Shepherd, a correctional officer. And I believe it's another, I forget the other rapper's name, Electronic Z or something of his name. These people were playing. All these people were calling out people to foolishness and nonsense. That's the call. So this young man with a degree in his hand, this young man with a college education, had been reduced to the lowest of the low. He's facing a bankruptcy court. No children. Not even paid for an apartment. But yet he's at the bottom of the pit with the rest of us. Now, if that's the case with a young man of education, culture, and refinement, what does that say about the rest of us? Oh, Imam, you're blaming the victim. No, I don't blame the victim. I don't believe that we are victims. I'm here to fight the scheme of Satan. And the scheme of Satan is the scheme to invite our people to cultural degeneracy, to invite them to ignorance, to invite them to the loss of our economic resources, to invite them to savagery, to invite them to anarchy. That's the scheme of Satan. No authority in our lives. No respect for grandma. No respect for grandpa. No respect for family. And that's the overwhelming call in the streets. What one writer called it, street poison. But in the masjid, the reason that the African-American community is in the situation that it's in today, because the leaders and the members in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad did implement his program. What is his program? What are his programs? The New Earth Team, to go into these neighborhoods and give them education, to give them economic sense, give them budgetary sense, to teach them the virtues and the dignity of work, to organize them, to clean up the neighborhood, to patrol the neighborhood with blight arrest and pioneer patrol, the need to go into the communities and establish business of survival institutes so we can teach our people as collective purchase councils so our people can develop economic resources among themselves, teach them how to entertain themselves so they ain't got to listen to Rick Ross, all the other degenerates that are paid to sell us cultural crack, to have organizations and structures where we don't have to act like a mob to go before governmental agencies. I can tell you something. People might have hated us in the Nation of Islam, and they did. Police officers might have hated us in the Nation of Islam, and they did. But they had respect for us because they knew that we were not somebody to play with. But we demanded respect first from ourselves and from the public at large, and as a result, we got respect from even the police department. This is what we have to tell our people. We're not going to tell our people, go and love everybody. You got to love white folks. No, that's not what we are saying. That's not our message. That's not our message to come and build our own, toot our own horn, to get, engage in cultural narcissism. But our message is a message that calls for our people to establish a cultural pattern. Brother Imam Mubashir told us about how the Nation of Islam dressed men up, sometimes didn't have a high school diploma, they dressed them up like they were bankers, dressed them up with suits and ties, and told them to do for self, prepared us to work. We have to bring that into our people's focus. I don't care what the system does. I don't care what the system says. We've got to bring that to our people's mind and into our people's spirit. We've got to bring that into our people's bodies. And we need to go to the Fergusons, Missouri, East St. Louis, to the neighborhood, even to the college campus, even to the fraternity house, even to the sorority organization, to the professional organization, and uplift our people from slavery. Uplift our people from degeneracy. Uplift our people from backwardness. Uplift our people wherever African people are, whether they be in Ferguson, whether they be in Monrovia, whether they be in Port of Spain, whether they be in Caracas, Venezuela, our people are at the bottom. Other people are responsible for the economy. You can cry for Gaza all you want, but the same cry you make for Gaza is the cry that's being made in your community. The guy that's feeding you, the guy that's clothing you, the guy that's sheltering you, the guy that's selling you groceries, he's shipping his money back to Gaza. You can cry for Kashmir all you want, but the guy that's in your medical office, the guy that you probably can see for medical things, but don't be a cynic. Don't be like a lot of our intellectuals complain, bitch, and moan, but are not prepared to unite and do something for self. Don't be prepared to do that. Don't be prepared to sit down. No, join with others who are similarly situated and say we're going to cause a change in our people's lives. I'm not going to beat up on individuals. I'm going to beat up on systems. I'm going to demand that our people, I'm asking you all to join me in the public square and call for our people to come back to dignity, to come back to sense, to come back to Booker D. Washington, come back to College E. Woodson. Come back. Write about it. Artists paint about it. Oh, you're going to engage in didactics. Well, we need some desperate messes. Desperate times to remain domestic. Desperate times to remain desperate action. We need action. And we're going to go back to the streets of America to call our people back to sense, call our people back to appreciation of dignity, call them back to respect for what God has established for us. We also will call for people to administer the law properly. But let us demand that by our very presence, by our very organizations, by our very spirit, that we are right. Don't appeal to white folk. Appeal to yourself. Appeal to your own people. Appeal to your own spirit. Today in Lawnsart, New Jersey, they're having a memorial to a young man that was killed at the hands of one of our own people. And a brother wrote on Facebook, he said, when is it that we are going to get outraged at what's going on with our people? When are we going to get outraged? And when are we going to organize our people for a massive uplift program, for a massive program to get our people to stay in school, for a massive program to get our people to get adult basic education, to get the man that our people get high school diplomas, that they get GEDs, that they go forth with vocational training,
and set up institutions in our communities that we expand the historical African-American college, that we expand African-American businesses, that we have micro-lending so we can actually have stores in our neighborhood. Brothers and sisters, this is not a hopeless situation at all. This is a situation that is the greatest opportunity in the history of humanity for us to get up and do something for self, for us to educate our people, for us to patrol our neighborhoods, for us to clean our neighborhoods up, for us to move. You are the greatest people that have ever walked the face of the planet Earth. God himself have equipped you, and God is preparing to give you the rule if you only claim it and accept the responsibility to do for self. Accept the responsibility to police your own neighborhood, to clean your own neighborhoods up. And I've seen us do it. I've read the history of us. I've experienced it, and I've also experienced a drop in our people. And we're going to come back to it, and God is with us. I say to you, dear people, we've had a long day. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lie. Any of you all like to make comments or continue the program, please feel free to do it. I think we have covered our bases. I think we have addressed sufficiently what should happen in Ferguson, Missouri, that we demand freedom. We demand justice. We demand equality first and foremost for ourselves. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lie. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, man, I'm good, brother. I just finished preaching on the radio about Ferguson. If you get a chance to download it, I've run out of energy. Marbles in his mouth. I mean, I just feel sorry.